Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And I am one of your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and normally at this point I would be introducing my fearless cohort in crime, the captain, Jack Barry, but Jack has come down with a vicious sickness that has required him to abstain from recording this week. We get it. We understand. And we long for heaven. We long for the day that sickness won't stop us from doing the things we love. We really do. You know, sickness is awful. And it, every time I get sick, I'm reminded, like, Lord, again, like, it's probably the quintessential man cold joke, but you get that, like all the men know, you get that feeling in the back of your head, right? And the pressure behind the eyes, and you start thinking, Lord, please deliver me from this body of death, because you know what's about to hit you. So Jack is laid up right now, and he is in the throes of getting over his sickness, but did not want to just skip this week and go without an episode for everybody. So we soldier on, and we soldier on solo. So what this is going to be is going to be the Reformatory's version of The Briefing, in which it's just me talking about whatever it is that I'm going to talk about. So, but before we do that, I want to give you guys some quick reminders of some things that we have going on in the Reformatory universe. Obviously, episode 300 is on its way. It is almost here. It is very, very close. We have been doing this for a while, and that's really, really cool. Something that Jack and I are both really excited about and really proud of. 300 eps. That's a drop in the bucket for many podcasts, but for us, we're pretty excited. And because of that, we've been doing, we are in the middle right now of a giveaway sponsored by the Pactum Podcast and Broken Wharf Bookstore. And you can head on over to Instagram and Twitter to see the details of that giveaway, giving away some amazing stuff. And I believe we're doing the drawing on the 22nd of August. So coming up here pretty quick. So you still have time to get in on that giveaway and get your name in the running for some really, really cool prizes. There'll be two winners, which we're super excited about. And each winner gets some Reformatory swag and some cool books, both by Broken Wharf and the Pactum. So we're really excited about that. And make sure to use the promo code Reformatory for all month of August, and you get 10% off all of your purchases. So I just used that for, they have this sweet Baptist Confession and Catechism book that's coming out in like bonded leather. It looks amazing. You get like different color choices. And that was just pre-ordered. And make sure to use the promo code Reformatory on those purchases. Tell them we sent you, and get some sweet discounts all the month of August. So we're really thankful for Broken Wharf and the Pactum for supporting us in this and coming alongside us for our 300th episode. Pretty special. It's really, really cool. And we really, really appreciate both of them. So obviously, we have been in the middle of a liturgy series, and I contemplated tackling baptism and the Lord's Supper by myself and doing just an episode on the sacraments, which I'm really looking forward to. But because I'm looking forward to it, and I know Jack is too, I didn't want to just do it myself and steal all of the thunder. So we're going to postpone our liturgy series until next week when Jack is up and doing much better. And today we're going to do something a little different. For those of you who have not heard of this website called Grace Gems, it is indeed a gem. Pun intended. And what it is it's daily devotionals that are sent straight to your email. You can sign up for the newsletter-like emails that come in every morning. And each morning you are given a devotional by the likes of Charles Spurgeon and J.C. Ryle and a lot of fantastic authors of the past that are just filled with great encouragement. Much akin to Charles Spurgeon's morning and evening devotionals. If you guys haven't heard of those, a huge fan of those. Really, really beneficial to start your day with some solid scriptural encouragement. And Grace Gems provides that. So they are not a sponsor. And we're doing just a free shout out because it's a resource that's really, really special and really, really valuable. And it's something that you guys can get straight to your inbox. So basically what we are doing today is I was very much encouraged by the Grace Gems devotional that came in this morning. And it is a very short devotional by J.C. Ryle. And it's pointed primarily to pastors, but the truths that are expressed in this devotional can also be extended to the everyday Christian that is sharing their faith to the world that needs it, right? Obviously, we have been tasked, both pastors and members of the body, to share the faith, right? And to evangelize, to go into the world and create disciples. That's not something that is the purview of one particular class of Christian. Because of that, I think whether you're a pastor or in ministry or not, you run into a lot of the same, hesitancies or temptations that everyone does who's sharing their faith. And one of those temptations is that we often feel as if the message that we are preaching or proclaiming to the lost or to the church needs to somehow be characterized or curated or dressed up in certain, cultural clothes in order to be effective in its purpose, which is to obviously get into the hearts and the minds of the individuals that we are preaching to, right? And I know that this is very tempting for us to do in the world when we're sharing the gospel, right? We understand that the gospel is very offensive, that what the gospel, the truths of the gospel say about us, about those that need Christ. It's not a flattering reality that the gospel proclaims, right? Telling somebody that they are dead in their sin and unable to save themselves, no matter how good of a person they think they are, that's an offensive thing. It's offensive to the natural man, because it goes against the things that we want to believe about ourselves. It goes against our thoughts that we are inherently good, that we have this ability to choose good over evil, that we can somehow please God based on our own effort and our own merit. Those are all internal, inherent things that we want to be true outside of the influence of the Holy Spirit. So it's very tempting for us that share the gospel to change the gospel, to make it less offensive, to make it somehow more palatable to the natural man. And what we end up doing is we end up not making the gospel more effective, but we end up making it less effective because we're adding poison to the medicine. We're adding lies to the truth, and we are diluting the truths of the gospel instead of proclaiming them the way that they are supposed to be proclaimed. Now you move that into the realm of pastoral ministry, right? And you are tasked with the job of preaching the word to the people, right? Proclaiming the truths of Scripture to the congregation. That can often come with the temptation to believe that the effectiveness of the word going forth from the pulpit is dependent upon your ability or cleverness as a speaker. That somehow, if I'm going to be effective in proclaiming these truths to the people that I have been entrusted with to shepherd and to lead and to care for, that I need to make sure that the delivery mechanism for these truths is as perfect as it can be. Otherwise, the truths are not going to be received the way that they should be. And if we're going to be honest, I think anyone who has spent any amount of time behind the pulpit has struggled with this to one degree or another. It can be a great temptation to flower things up with your perceived wisdom in order to try to drive a point home that you think would not be as effective if you didn't do that, right? Now, I want to be very clear. What I'm not saying is that pastors should not preach out of their own personality. We absolutely should. We actually just, if you listen a couple episodes back when we talked about preaching the word, we actually talked about that and the importance of finding your own voice and not preaching just your prep, but proclaiming the truths of the gospel through the passage that you're in and not being simply a robot up there that is just saying a set of truths, right? That's the difference often between preaching and teaching. Teaching is very informative. It has the intention of informing the individual with information. And preaching involves that, right? I've often said, or I've heard it said, that I didn't coin this, but all preaching includes teaching, but not all teaching includes preaching. I believe they are distinct in their function and in their purpose and how you go about engaging in both of them. Preaching involves, of course, an element of teaching. You are informing the congregation of the truths of Scripture. That's part of preaching, a large part of preaching. But what is often forgotten in preaching is that it is a proclamation. You are proclaiming the truth. You are proclaiming, thus says the Lord, to the congregation, and not just informing them like you would perhaps in an educational or academic setting. So again, that is a debate, right? And there are those that would claim that there is no distinction. There should not be a distinction. And I understand, very faithful individuals fall on either side of this. This is the side I fall on, right? Because of that, it's very tempting that when you understand preaching as to be a proclamation, right? Something that requires the fervency and the intention to not only inform the mind of your congregation, but also the hearts. You want to move them with the truth, right? There's a fine line between doing that biblically and the pastor being performative. And often, I would say all the time, the thing that makes that distinction is within the intention behind what it is that you are doing and what you're proclaiming and how you're proclaiming it. So you can proclaim the same thing in the exact same way with the same fervency and the same tone of voice and the same personality coming through of the pastor behind it. And if your intention is to rightly stir the hearts and the minds of your people to show them the greatness of God and the goodness of the gospel in Christ, that is a good intention, and it is well informed and well intentioned. If your intention is to emotionally manipulate, or to say no, I want them to feel this. If they're not feeling this, then they're not going to receive the truth the way that it needs to be received. that is when it turns into a performance, right? And it's important that we understand the two. And as we, as pastors, those who preach the word, are wanting to ever sharpen that skill and be more proficient in that, and as those who might not be in ministry but want the same thing with their evangelism, they want to be more proficient in sharing the word and sharing the gospel, it's very important that we understand that the power is not in the performance, it is in the provider. It's not in how you provide those truths, it's in the person and the work of the person that applies it, which is the Holy Spirit. And I think we would do well, those of us that preach and those of us that share the gospel in everyday life, we would do well to remember more often the role of the Holy Spirit in evangelism and in preaching. And that's something that J.C. Ryle gets into here in this Grace Gem. So this would be August 11th, Monday. It's August 11th Grace Gems, and you can just hop on their website, gracegems.org, and go to their today's Grace Gem. Or I think they have them out scheduled out in the month as well, and you can click on this one. But this is from J.C. Ryle, and I found it to be really, really encouraging and really comforting, especially as someone who has been tasked with preaching the word often to his congregation. So he starts out with Jesus speaking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, specifically in verse 8, where Jesus said, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Right, and then we get into the article here. It says, "The workings of grace in the heart are utterly mysterious and unsearchable. We cannot explain why the word produces effect on one person in the congregation and not the other." Right? And anyone, again, who has done any amount of preaching, like you know that's true from looking out in the congregation, right? You can be preaching the exact same thing and you see this one person who's just dialed in, right? They got their Bible open. They're leaned forward. They're listening intently. There's eye contact, right? That's the listener that you love, of course, right? But then, you know, one row back or maybe off to the side, there's that person that's completely zonked out. Eyes are rolled back in the head. The mouth is open. They're all but snoring, right? And it's the exact same word to very different people in the congregation. That's a reality. That's just how it is, right? I experienced that last Sunday. I had some people that were very encouraged with the word. And then I had a very nasty email from someone, albeit that did not go to our church, but that sent a very nasty email about how awful it was. And it's like they were in the exact same room hearing the exact same words. And it was applied differently, right? And anyone who does any amount of preaching knows and understands that. But he goes on, J.C. Ryle, and he says, "We cannot explain why in some cases, with every possible advantage and in spite of every entreaty, people reject the word and continue dead in trespasses and sins." And that's very true. We all, I'm sure, can think of those that we know have heard the gospel over and over and over and over again and continue to willingly reject the truth that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And then we come across this individual, perhaps in our churches, perhaps in our work or in our personal life, who hears the gospel, albeit maybe for the first time, and their eyes are opened, their heart is changed, and they receive the truth of the gospel and come into regenerative new life. How do those two compute? How do those go together? It's the same word. It's the same gospel. You might have preached that gospel the exact same way to both people, and one continually rejects and one receives. That's something that's not in our purview. That's, as you would say, above our pay grade, to understand the reasonings behind that. But we do trust in a God that is sovereign, but not just sovereign, he is good. And we trust that his reasonings are good. J.C. Ryle goes on to say, he says, "We cannot explain why in other cases, with every possible difficulty and with no encouragement, people are born again and become decided Christians." Exactly. It's just what we talked about. How can the same word go out the exact same way and have two very different outcomes? He says, we cannot define the manner in which the Spirit of God conveys life to a soul and the exact process by which a believer receives a new nature. All these things are hidden things to us. We see certain results, but we cannot go further. And that's a very important thing to remember, is that we have been tasked with the responsibility of sharing the gospel, of preaching the word of God. We have not been tasked with creating or facilitating the results of that preaching. That is the purview of the Spirit. Right? Obviously, if we were given the power of conversion, and we could you know, touch the forehead of an individual and they would automatically, their eyes would be opened and they would receive the new life, we would do it. But I think what that would often cause is in our hearts is we would forget the dependency that we have upon the Lord, that we would forget the power that is in prayer to lift up the lost to the Lord. Right? If the Lord gave us the ability to save on the spot, it would place us in the position of the judge and the jury. And we would often, because we would still war against our sinful nature, intentionally withhold that from individuals. I believe we would, because our pride is still something that we war against. So thanks be to God that it is the purview of the Spirit and not us. Because what that does, right, when you are preaching the word of God to your congregation and you don't know if it's hidden, you don't know if it's being effective. You don't know if the words that you're saying and the prep that you put into that sermon, you don't know if it's doing what you want it to do. It gives you the ability, and I would say the responsibility, the requirement of placing those hopes, those desires upon the shoulders of the ones whose job it is to oversee those things. And that is not you. You, dear pastor, are called to be faithful. Faithful in your prep, faithful in your care, and faithful in your proclamation. That is your job. Your job is not to be the one to administer the truth that is spoken. You proclaim it, and the Holy Spirit is the one that applies it. And often, I think we can get those relationships mixed up, because we want to be the one to proclaim and apply, right? And what ends up happening is one of two things. We either put all of our emphasis into the performance, right? And I want to make sure that I am performing this sermon with the intention that it is applied a certain way. And the proclamation, again, turns into simply a performance. Or we become so infatuated with making sure that the point that we are preaching comes across the way that we want it to comes across, and we want it to be applied the way that we want it to be applied, that we end up going too far in our pastoral duties from proclaiming the word to then applying the word in ways and areas that we do not have the authority to do that. Right, we've talked about it on the Reformatory before, that the job of the pastor is not to control the conscience of the membership. It is to inform the conscience with the word of God. And we have to be very careful in our desire to proclaim rightly, and our desire, our good and biblical, hear me out, a good and biblical desire that our congregation would hear the word, receive the word, and apply the word. That is a good and right desire to have. We must be very careful not to place ourselves in the position of both the proclaimer and the applier. We work with the Holy Spirit, who takes the words that we faithfully preach from the pulpit and applies it to the hearts of the men and women in our congregation individually, based upon what the Holy Spirit knows they need at that time, right? And what this does, and J.C. Ryle gets into this, is that it creates humility in the life of the preacher and in the life of the Christian that is seeking to share the gospel, right? He goes on to say, he says this. He says, this is deeply instructive. It is humbling, no doubt, to ministers and teachers of others. The highest abilities, the most powerful preaching, the most diligent working cannot command success. And I love that. Because you can be the most dynamic preacher. You could be the most proficient profundicator, right? You can be a wordsmith behind that pulpit and have the best insights, the best applications, the best way of speaking and shaping the sentences to be the most clear and the most effective, and it will be mean absolutely nothing if the Holy Spirit is not working in the life of your people. And we could take two ways from this, right? We could go, I would say, there's two ways that we could respond to this truth, because it is the truth. It is just the truth. It is the way that it is. It's not going to change. So we have a responsibility to respond correctly. One way that we could respond is frustration, right? And have it actually cause some sort of dissatisfaction in our hearts, that we want to be the ones and take some form of credit for the applying of the word, that I want a little bit of credit to know that that word was received in that way because of how I preached it. That if somebody else had preached that word, I don't know if it would have landed the way that it would have. We all have to be very careful with thinking these things. And in the deepest parts of who we are as men, I think we have all struggled in one way, one shape, or one form with that idolatry. That, you know, it's very easy to compare yourself to other preachers. It's very easy to take your style and pit it up against those that you think perhaps are not to that same level, right? And really think like, oh, like I can't wait to preach this because I really want our congregation to hear it this way. That mentality is very real, and it is one that creates discontentment and disunity among the body, among elders, and I would say a heart of malice within you and within me, because comparison is the thief of joy, and comparison is usually always stemming from a place of pride, never humility. So we got to be very careful when we're responding to this truth that the Holy Spirit is the one that does the work. You need to be a faithful proclaimer, right? What it should produce in our hearts and the correct response should be, one, humility, but also think about the immense relief and joy that can now be yours, knowing that the responsibility of making sure that that proclaimed word is planted in fertile soil is not on your shoulders, right? This is one of the reasons I confess the doctrines of grace. This is one of the reasons I'm a Calvinist, is because I believe in God's sovereignty and salvation. And I also believe that if he wasn't sovereign and somehow the effectiveness of the gospel being preached in the life of that individual that needs to hear it is based on my eloquency or my style or my talent or my ability to proclaim it without jumping all over my words, that's terrifying to me. I mean, there's times I'm a weird guy with a speech impediment, man. Like, if it depends on my ability to preach effectively and to be eloquent, if the effectiveness of the word preached is based on that, I'm toast. I take such great comfort in knowing that the feeble words that I preach, the ineloquency that I have does not hinder the work of the Spirit one bit. That the Holy Spirit can take the feeblest of words, the most humble of intentions, and if it is done in faithfulness and a desire to please the Lord, faithfully in the words proclaimed, no matter how it comes out of the mouth, the Holy Spirit can take those and grow from that humble, feeble seed an oak tree of faith. And there is great comfort to be had in that. That takes the anxiety of preaching away from me, and that I don't need to worry about making sure that this is applied to the hearts of my congregations in the way that I think they need it. I preach the word faithfully, and the Holy Spirit takes that and applies it in their lives. That is such a comfort to me, knowing that the Holy Spirit is working in and through me, and I am not responsible for conjuring up the response on myself. J.C. Ryle says this, closing out. He says, God alone can give spiritual life. But it is a truth at the same time, which supplies an admirable antidote to excessive anxiety or despondency. Our principal work is to sow the seed. That done, we may wait with faith and patience for the result. We may leave our work with the Lord. He alone can, if he thinks fit, give success. And he quotes Romans chapter 9, verse 15, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So that's just something that I want to encourage you all in as you are crafting your sermons, as you are sharing the gospel with your friends and your family members in your life. Do so with the understanding and with the hope that the Holy Spirit will take your words and apply them the way that he wants to. That it does not depend on you to be the most eloquent in your speech or to have the best crafted illustrations. Be faithful. Be faithful to preach the whole counsel of God. Be faithful to preach the true and unadulterated gospel. And take great hope and comfort in the Holy Spirit will take that proclamation and apply it the way that he wants to. So I hope that is a comfort to you. It is a comfort to me. And I hope that this has been an encouraging episode. So as always, make sure to hit us up at the Reformatory on all the socials, Instagram and Twitter, at Reformatory Pod. We've got a Patreon for $5 a month that you could support us with. We'd really appreciate that. There's a lot of cool stuff that happens over there. You get bonus episodes every week. You get this episode early and access to the Reformatory chat, all that good stuff. And yeah, make sure to get in on the giveaway. Again, huge thank you to Broken Wharf Bookstore and the Pactum Podcast for sponsoring us. We thank all of you listeners for listening, for sticking with us for almost 300 eps now. That is insane to me. The fact that you guys still sit around and listen to this after 300 episodes, either work, you know, again, like, I don't want to take credit for that. You guys are either some sick puppies or the Holy Spirit's actually doing something cool with this podcast. Either way, I'm happy about it and I'm thankful for it. So, yeah, we appreciate every single one of you. We thank you guys for listening to the podcast, and we hope that it is encouraging. We hope that this episode was better than no episode at all. Hopefully it was, and hopefully it kind of gives you some wind in your sails for the rest of the week, especially if you are preaching the word this Sunday. You're doing great, right? You're doing a good job. You're doing what the Lord wants you to do. Be faithful and proclaim the word, and leave the results up to the Holy Spirit where they are already. You can't change that. So you might as well get in line and get with the program. So we thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.